This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best football analysis from the likes of Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, Henry Winter and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome along to Friday's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, it was a bad night for the League of Ireland clubs in Europe last night as Shelburne and Bohemians go out while Shamrock Rovers are thumped by Ignacia. Rangers' miserable start to life under Derek McInnes continues as they are dumped out of the Europa League. And Michael Carrick calls for more signings at Manchester United as the Premier League season comes into view. But first, two events in Europe last night, and Shamrock Rovers missed out on the chance to confirm league face football after they were hammered 5-1 by Ignacia in Albania. The Hoops headed into the second leg with a commanding 3-1 lead, but the wheels came off quickly as they conceded three times inside the opening 20 minutes. Things would only get worse for the Tallaght side as they conceded two more goals out of sight of the break before Graham Burke pulled back a consolation. Speaking to their in-house media channel, Rovers boss Stephen Bradley said it was one of the worst performances he has ever witnessed during his tenure.
Yeah, we were awful. We let ourselves down tonight. We let, as a group, we let ourselves down. We've let the fans down, the club down tonight. Not very often you can say that about this group of players, but we have tonight, all of us, as a group. And, it's a million miles away from the standards we set ourselves, and when you do that at any level, but especially European level away from home, you don't stay in games and you get beaten, and that's what happened.
Rovers will have little time to dust themselves down as they face Cups of Finland in the playoff round of the Europa Conference League next week. But first comes an FAI Cup third round tie with the Dublin rivals St Patrick's Athletic on Sunday. Bohemians were beaten 3-2 by FC Midtjylland in Denmark last night. In their third round Europa Conference League qualifier, the Dubliners went down 5-2 in aggregate, with goals from Zane Myers and Dale Rooney giving the travelling fans something to celebrate. Bohs will now turn their attention to this Sunday and a meeting with Longford Town in the FAI Cup. Midtjylland are into the playoff round where they'll face HNK Rijeka over two legs to replace in the competition proper. Speaking to Richie McCormick of Bohemians in-house media channel, Bohs boss Alan Reynolds said the fine margins went against his side.
Yeah, just before I go on, just talking about the fans that travelled over, I thought they were unbelievable down there. I normally finish the interview with it, but I thought they were unbelievable and really got behind it. Even when we were three down and that, they stuck with us. So just on that, but yeah, on the game itself, I think fine margins. You look at some of the decisions there, really disappointed that the Pat Hickey's goal isn't given. I think it's a big moment for us, you know, we're 1-0 up, and I know there's an offside, which is tight, but any big decisions, they should have a lad sent off. I thought the officials were poor.
Despite going out, Shelburne put in a brilliant performance to earn a very credible 2-2 draw against Dutch giants Ajax at Tulke Park last night. The four-time European champions went ahead twice through goals from Julian Brandt and Anton Hay, but were twice pulled back by Evan Caffrey and Sean Moore. Ajax will now play FC Sion of Switzerland for a place in Europa Conference League proper after their 5-3 aggregate victory. Speaking to our own Ben Symes in the aftermath, head coach John Russell said that he was happy to see his players put in a battling performance.
I think performance was unbelievable tonight from the players. First half, our defensive shape, really good. We looked a threat on the transitions, even broken off one or two of our defensive corners. Disappointed with the two goals we conceded, especially the first one looked like Milan was fouled. It felt that some of the refereeing decisions didn't go our way tonight. But second half, you could see we got our block up a little bit higher and got pressure on Ajax all over the pitch and caused turnovers and, disappointed with the VAR goal. I think it looked like it was legit from us on the bench looking back at the replays. And that was a big moment to go 2-2 with about 10-15 minutes to go. But the performance, the energy levels, the crowd getting right behind the group, really, really pleased with that. We can be pleased with our night's work.
Tonight, there are three games in the FAI Cup round of 16. Galway United host Bray Wanderers, UCD welcome Derry City to Belfield, and an informed Waterford side host First Division Athlone Town. This week on the LOI pod, Vinnie Peart stepped into the host seat in place of Stephen Doyle, as he was joined as ever by Garrett McGlynn and this week Owen Heary, and ahead of St Patrick's Athletics meeting with Shamrock Rovers in the FAI Cup. Vinnie and the lads talked about the Inchicore side's recent form and the comments from Stephen Kenny.
I've struggled with the gaffer's comments, Garrett, because I think, and I honestly don't know that they were aimed at, say, me. There has been other articles and there's other people with different agendas, so-called agendas, that have have been talking about, Pat. There is a narrative there that they should be closer to Rovers, and I think the only reason I certainly wouldn't get into a war or words with him, but one thing I would say is that we, because by all accounts, Owen Cozier said he was alluding to me in it, so therefore I presume. But I think I actually found it a little bit, I may as well say, a little bit offensive, right? Because, and both of you know this, when, and you'd know more, Gareth, when you work for Stephen, you have to be so loyal to him. You have to go to war. Like, once I'm involved with your team, I understand why people think I'm Dundalk, true and true, because when you're with a club, you go to war for them. That mm-hmm. club is all that matters. You were the same when you were Shells. We remember Stewie's great rant and all of that stuff, because it was all about your team. So that loyalty I would have, and that to the core, still there. And I want Pats to win the league. And for Stephen, the fact that we're not best buddies anymore. But in 2008, the end of 2018, starting 19, he decided to move on his football career. And he left me behind. I was okay with that. Part of me was hurt, but I'm okay with that. Don't hold any grudge to that. But he then went and made decisions around getting his life and his staff and all of that stuff to make him better. And I have to make a couple of decisions as well, which one of them is being honest when I see something. And I can stand in front of him, look him in the face and go, I think the team, Pats, don't play your way enough. The Dundalk's a great example. The back five, two sitting midfielder, that's seven defensive-minded players, because two wing-backs were defenders. And I'm going, you're more of an attacking coach than what I'm looking at. So I could stand there. So that's not personal. That's not a personal vendetta. I've no vendetta against the man. Evanton, I've said it before, he's like a big brother. Just don't happen to be speaking to me big brother that much. That's the way it is. So I was a little bit offended by it. But, and he'd hate this, so I shouldn't even say it. But if it does anything but stokes a bit of fire in his belly, great. Because I do want Pat's at least make a title race out of this. They're good enough. And as I said, I think Rovers only have three gears at the moment. So that's just my rant on it for what it's worth.
But I honestly think you being honest, like you said, is the best policy. And me and Garrett played in the same dressing room. I'm used to say to each other and say to the players that I would rather a player come to me and say, you're not at it today. You know, whereas you have players that will go to you, you're brilliant. And then they go over to Garrett and say, he's been brutal today. You know, and that's what you don't want. You want someone that's going to be out straight, tell you the way it is. And that, to me, is what you're doing with him, because you know him better than anyone. Probably know him, I know Garrett has played under him, but you know him probably the best out of the three of us here anyway, because you've played with him played under him, you've worked with him for a long, long time. So you're giving that honest opinion to him. He mightn't accept it, he mightn't agree with it, but at least you're being honest. And that's something that you have to be upfront. And that's the way I would look at it. Coming from a player's point of view, I'd rather that honesty.
And that is available now in your OTB Football podcast feed to listen back to for free. Derek McInnes is now four matches without a win in charge of Rangers. His team are booed off after going out of the Europa League qualifier to Polish side Jagiellonia Białystok at Ibrox. The visitors won the tie 3-2 in aggregate after a deserved 65th minute strike. Under pressure, McInnes could not believe what he saw.
Yeah, I think it was justified, to be honest. It wasn't good enough. What we served up, particularly second half, wasn't good enough. I've got to be honest with that, I've got to own it. But for us to lose the goal, what we do there, it's our set play madness. It's inexplicable how we don't make a foul, how we don't stop the flow of the attack.
Hearts put in a face-saving display as they drew with Benfica 1-1 on the night, but went out of the Europa League qualifier 7-2 on aggregate. Thomas Magnussen was the Hearts goal scorer, whilst Irishman Oisín McKenzie played 84 minutes. The consolation of Tynecastle is a place in the Conference League playoffs, where they'll face Rapid Vienna of Austria. Ibrahim Said was the hero with both goals, as Motherwell got a 2-0 win over HJK Helsinki that sees them progress to the Europa Conference League playoffs. They meet last year's Europa League finalist Freiburg for a place in the group stages. And Hibernian held firm in the heat to grind out a goalless draw at Skendia of Macedonia and move through to the Europa Conference League playoffs. The goalless draw was enough to see players celebrate with the around 300 fans who'd made the trip to the Balkans. Owen Elding, Warren O'Hara and Jamie McGrath all featured from an Irish perspective. The Edinburgh club can book their place in the league phase if they beat Belgium's Ghent next week. Manchester City have agreed a deal to sell Tijani Reinders to Al Qadsiyah in Saudi Arabia. They are recouping the £45 million they paid for him from AC Milan last year. The Dutchman played 28 games in the Premier League for City last season. Meanwhile, Manchester City boss Enzo Maresca has been asked about the future of Rodri amid interest from Barcelona.
Window transfer is open. We can buy players, we can sell players. Anything can happen. I just saw Rodri now in the building. I gave him a big gag. He looks good. So we'll see what's happening.
It's understood the club rejected an offer of £55 million for the Spain World Cup winner yesterday. His contract expires next summer. Premier League rivals Chelsea have also reportedly set a deadline of 5 p.m. today for offers of over £120 million for Enzo Fernandez, should City want him as Rodri's potential replacement. Manchester United head coach Michael Carrick says the club wants and need to do more transfer business before the summer window closes. The team are back amongst Europe's elite, having secured Champions League football. United are set to play many more games than they did last season when they suffered early cup exits. Carrick says the players need to embrace it.
The unique part of it was last season, if you like, you know, not playing as many games, or nowhere near as many games as we would like. Since I came to this club all them years ago, you're kind of used to playing a lot of games. The boys over the last few years have been used to playing a lot of games in different competitions. If anything, last season was a challenge for that.
Manchester United defender Nusair Mazraoui is predicting a strong season for the club under Michael Carrick. The former United midfielder rejuvenated the side after taking over midway through the previous campaign, helping them qualify for Europe's top tier competition. Mazraoui says they've picked up where they've left off.
Even improving that, there's a clear idea. We know how to play, and you see the improvement even in those friendlies. Some moments in the game, I think a lot of moments is just enjoyable football to see. So yeah, that's really good.
Mikel Arteta says there are very few players that could improve his Arsenal squad during a fairly quiet transfer window so far. The Premier League champions have signed Bruno Guimaraes and Christos Zolas this summer. One player who could be on his way out is homegrown defender Miles Lewis-Skelly, who's attracted interest from both Chelsea and Manchester United. Arteta says it's natural that clubs want to sign him.
I'm not going to talk about any speculation. If there is a speculation about our players, a good sign. That means that we attract attention and they're doing a good job.
Meanwhile, the Gunners have been linked to Ezri Konsa and Jarrell Kwanzaa in the last 24 hours. Aston Villa's European Cup winning goalkeeper Jimmy Rimmer has died aged 78. He played just 9 minutes of the 1982 final against Bayern Munich after going off with a neck injury. Rimmer was also on the bench when Manchester United were crowned European champions in 1968. Villa says he was one of the finest goalkeepers of his generation. Ireland midfielder Ruaisha Littlejohn joined Eoin Sheehan on the football show last night as she searches for a club to keep her ambitions of going to the World Cup next year with Ireland. She says that Watford are being helpful, allowing her to train as she tries to find a new club.
What is the situation at the moment then, Ruaisha? People might have seen your Instagram reel talking about giving yourself 5 weeks to find a club or else it's retirement. Is retirement coming closer, Ruaisha, or have you got a club lined up?
I do not have a club right now. I was lucky enough that Watford have allowed me to go in and train with them right now. So got to catch up with Saoirse and Eivin. They two are looking quite sharp. They've been keeping themselves in good shape over the summer. And I think the heat helps here. It's absolutely scorching in London right now. It's 34, 35 degrees. So I was in training with them. So that's nice. But look, we'll see what comes from it. I think there's plenty of people out there going, you need to call it a day. That's plenty from you. But look, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. And I'll take it from there. I think when you weigh it up, you start going, okay, I'm coming to the end of my career. I'm well aware of that. And I think at the end of the season, there was a few moments of me going, right, you're done. Just leave it there. I think going away on holiday, playing football for the majority of it, kind of just had that realisation that I've still got a little bit left in the tank. And yes, I can accept maybe my role is a bit different, but I still feel like I can do one more season. And obviously the aim and the wild card is the World Cup for Ireland. So if I can be part of that and help the squad, that would be unbelievable.
The Green Scene was back this week as Matthew Brennan and myself poured over some of the players we feel need to have big seasons. One player who stood out to Matthew was Watford midfielder Rocco Vatta.
One more honourable mention. Now, this is not an honourable mention in the context you might think it is. This is an honourable mention because I need this man to stay fit for the whole season. That's all. He doesn't need to do anything. He needs to play some minutes and he needs to stay fit. And that's Rocco Vatta.
Yeah.
He just needs to stay fit because he's playing games. He's looking very threatening. He's contributing with both goals and assists, which is what everyone wants to hear about these days. He does that when he plays, but he just doesn't play enough. And he's not old, but he's not a baby anymore. You know, he's not a kid, and he needs to start getting some minutes under his belt. And he's at Watford, who, are a club that you can't really judge until the season really gets going, because you don't know who's going to be in charge after a couple of weeks.
He's 21 years old.
Yeah. So, you know, look, it's not the end of the world if he has another bad season, but it's not good if he keeps getting injured again. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. He doesn't need to set the world alight this year, but he just needs to, if Watford play 48 games this season, he needs to feature in 35 of them.
What difference or what effect could he have on him or Hallam Crimson's Irish team? What position would he play in, and how does the Irish team look with Rocco Vada in it?
It's hard to know, right? Because with the way we have been setting up until this point, it's that left-hand side role has been a little bit fluid. It's been where the likes of Finn Azaz has lined up, where the likes of Harvey Vale, you would imagine, would line up, and you end up more central, and then you've got your Troy Parrott and your Chio Ogbene, as it has been. So Rocco Vada, does he fit into that exactly? Maybe he does. Maybe he does fit into that drifting sort of role when he come in, but it is the left-hand side that you will be looking at for him to feature in. And look, he's quick. He's got a rocket of a boot in him as well. Like, he scored some absolute crackers. And, you know, again, we haven't seen enough of him in senior football to really make a proper determination on that. But he is someone that Hamer does fancy. Like, he's included him in squads when he hasn't really been playing as well.
Yeah.
Calling him up out of the 21s and that sort of stuff as well. So, look.
Has one senior cap.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For someone like him, and you know, he was a player for a long time that we were worried about losing to other nations, given his Albanian heritage. In fact, he's born in Scotland and all that sort of stuff too.
True.
So, I just want him to stay fit this season.
Yeah, I'm very keen to hopefully have a couple of months and weeks of, oh, Rocco Vada did X, Y, and Z the weekend. It was really good.
Yeah.
Because Ireland need creative players. We don't produce a whole pile of players like Rocco Vada, so someone like that could be extremely beneficial for the Nations League and going forward.
And he had a really bad injury, and before he had that injury, he'd come back from another one, and he looked like he put on a good bit of mass, like he'd filled out in a good way, in a really good way, because he had still, prior to that, looked fairly lightweight, which you can get away with to a point, but it's always better when, especially when you're playing in the Championship, you need to be durable.
Yeah.
And it's harder to be durable when you're susceptible to take knocks because of your size. And he's an exciting player. An exciting player. So just stay fit, Rocco, please.
And both of those podcasts are available for you now to listen back to in your OTB Football podcast feed for free. That's all we have time for on today's Football Daily. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back with more next week.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best football analysis from the likes of Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, Henry Winter, and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.